Good morning. This morning, we're going to be talking about stories. Everyone has a story. And some people will tell their story through drawings, will tell their stories through illustration. But everyone has a story. And these stories usually include a downfall of sorts. And it includes dark times that they go through. And a lot of times it ends in victory. But not all stories end in victory. They don't, sadly. And so we must understand, when we go and we talk to people and they tell a story, we should listen. We should hear what they have been through. And we should hear about their victories. It's so important. Everyone has had a grandfather at one point who has plenty of stories. I know in the past I would listen to my grandfather and his stories. Most of the men in my family have served in the military, and they all have stories from their experience. And it was always interesting to learn what they went through and how they triumphed and returned home. And so when we look at these stories, even humanity has a story. When we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we have the beginning of the world. God created the world and everything in it and everything around it in 6 days. He created the earth, the waters on the earth, the heavens. He created the vegetation. He created every animal, every creepy crawly that's on the ground. And when he was done with it all, he sat back on the seventh day and said, "It is good. It is perfect." So far, so good. Then he creates man in his image. He created Adam from dust of the ground. And he placed Adam in the garden, and we see that he put Adam to work. Adam was to keep the garden. Everything was provided, right? He had plenty of food from the vegetation that was grown. At one point, God had him sit down to name all the animals. But Adam realized, I have no helper. And so God understood it is not good for man to be alone. And so he caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He takes rib from Adam and he creates from that rib woman, Eve, who would be Adam's wife, who would be his helper. So far, so good. The story is going well for humanity, right? Until we get to the downfall. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." Here we see at that moment. Beforehand, everything was perfect. Everything was going well. But then we see Eve eat of the tree which God had commanded them not to eat of and not to touch. And her husband with her followed suit, eating of that fruit. At that moment, their eyes were opened. At that moment, sin was introduced. Sin had been introduced into this perfect world. And now the world has been broken. Everyone has a story where a downfall happens. Something bad happened. Maybe it wasn't your fault. Maybe it was your fault. We know here, Adam and Eve, it was their fault for what had happened. They had disobeyed God. But for many, downfalls happen because of others. But we see downfalls happen. And it's not pretty. It's not a time to rejoice. It's a time that we are broken. A time that we are lost. The result of this downfall would be felt for generations. Starting again, Genesis chapter 3, going on down to verse 16. This is the result of this disobedience. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. Then Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles. It shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. This was just the beginning of what sin would do. It was their fault. This would be felt. But not only would it be pain and suffering, death would be. With these downfalls, when people have a downfall, it's not pleasant. It is painful. They suffer. They lose hope. They don't know who to turn to, where to turn to in these moments. I have had people from my high school class when we graduated who are no longer with us. These are the same guys that I got to know, same men and women I got to know through junior high, high school. You get out into the real world, and boy, the real world hits. For one instant, three young men that I knew, one graduated with me, two would graduate after me, were in a vehicle, on drugs, and drunk, got into a terrible crash. One would go through the windshield and be killed instantly. The other killed instantly, but one would survive. I can only imagine the pain and the suffering and the guilt and shame that he felt. And for a while after, he would get clean and he would be doing well, but he would have a downfall once again. But this time, death would get him. He would overdose and pass away at the age of 28. And I have many stories because where I was from, Boone County, West Virginia, there's not much to do. People got into drinking. They got into drugs. Not everyone. But we see the results of that. But not just that, but sin. We see with sin, it leads many, not just to possibly physical death, but spiritual death. Many who are sick as we speak, who are full of sin, who are lost, they have had the downfall, but now they are in these dark times where they do not know where to turn. Or maybe they just choose to remain in these dark times. Humanity entered in after this downfall into dark times. You fast forward to Cain and Abel, their first children born of them. What do we see? The first murder ever recorded, because Cain was prideful. He was angry. He was jealous. Abel, whose sacrifice was accepted by God, but Cain's, who was rejected, Cain would take his own brother's life. But this wasn't just the ending of the result of sin. This would continue throughout generation after generation. When we look at the dark times, the dark days of humanity's story, we go and we start with Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Here we have Noah and his family. Starting in verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Was this Noah's fault that the world was like this? No. He was born into a world that was already broken. This world was full of sin, full of wickedness, violence. Dark times can lead to plenty of violence, plenty of wrongdoing happening. It does. We have all, maybe, I know I have went through dark times in our life where we completely left God behind and went and just indulged in sin. Yet thankfully, we escaped. But for many, they have not escaped. But we see with Noah and his family, Noah was found to be just and faithful in God's eyes. And God would come to Noah and warn him, like, hey, look, I'm going to wipe this world clean. Build an ark. Tells him how to build it. Go for wood and the exact measurements. And what did Noah do? He heeded the words of God. And he built this ark, and him and his family and two of every animal were saved from the flood. So much disaster, so much death happens in dark times. People do struggle. We look at, throughout the centuries, the wars that we faced, the wars that humans went through. Millions died. Young men went to war and died. All of this violence, all of this destruction happens because of sin. Sin had destroyed everything. Because we go back up to Genesis 3, God goes from it is good, it is perfect, to I am sorry that I have ever created this. But not just Noah and his family. We fast forward to Genesis chapter 37, our main text, verses 3 through 4. We have a young man, Joseph. A young man with Joseph. Now Israel, starting in verse 3, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. What was the result? Once again, this isn't Joseph's fault, but this is the result of sin. His brothers would conspire against him, his own flesh and blood. You know, my wife and I watched plenty of documentaries. And these documentaries are not good ones, in my opinion. They're terrifying because they show human nature. They show what human nature has potential to do. A man murdered his wife and his children because he had a mistress on the side. People murder people. This, once again, the result of sin. So with Joseph here, his brothers, his flesh and blood, betrayed him, threw him into a pit. They wanted to kill him, but thankfully one brother said, no, we don't need to do that. And so the others decided, let's sell him to slavers. And we see that he's on his way to Egypt. Even when he got to Egypt, it wasn't easy. He climbed the ranks and would be put in charge over Potiphar's house. But guess what? His wife saw that Joseph was a good-looking man and she wanted to lie with him. But yet, Joseph, being a faithful man of God, wanting to please God, said no. And would say no multiple times until eventually she tried to force herself on him and he ran, he fleed. But then he would be thrown into prison. He was innocent. We see this is the result of sin. Can you imagine if your family betrayed you? It wouldn't be a good situation, would it? Could you ever trust anyone? And it's not just family, it's the family of God. I have heard stories of people being betrayed by their own brothers and sisters in Christ. Things happening to young men, young women. It's not good, but it's the result of sin. It would be felt for generations. Israel would have dark days. Look at Exodus chapter 32, starting in verse 4. Exodus chapter 32, verse 4. Once again, let's put in some background here. Israel was enslaved to Egypt for years and years. It would not be easy. They struggled. They were brutally mistreated. Having to build these great monuments, the pyramids that we see today. They were in pain. They called out to God, and guess what? God heard their cry. And so God started putting a plan together to deliver them. And it would be through Moses. Moses and Aaron would be sent in to tell Pharaoh, who had all the power in Egypt, let my people go. And so we see this story in Exodus. These 10 plagues that would be brought about by God through Moses and Aaron, he would destroy Egypt. Finally, the Pharaoh, being a stubborn man, not really caring about his own people, finally let them free, but it wouldn't be the end. He would chase them all the way to the Red Sea. But God was not done. He was not going to let Pharaoh have his people. And so to this point now, they are free. They have crossed the Red Sea. But we would see a people foolishly disobey. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Excuse me. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." A tickle. Ooh. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Ooh, allergies. We see here, they have saw the power of God. And God had promised them, "I will take care of you. I will provide for you." But here we are. Moses was up on the mountain with God. And to them, they were taking too long. They didn't think they would come back. So what did they do? Aaron, who would be the high priest, the future high priest. "Well, you know what? We'll build an idol. We'll build a god to lead us." And what did they proclaim? "This is the God who led you out of Egypt." God wanted to wipe every one of them out, but thank God they had Moses because he interceded on their behalf, just like Christ would intercede for us and still does. Once again, this is the result of sin. These dark times, and people's souls as of right now are going through these dark times. And they don't know where to turn. And that's why it's so important for us who have had that dark times, who's had that downfall, that dark time, but in the end had victory. We need to go help. We need to reach out to these people. We need to go for these lost souls and guide them, direct them through God's word on how to have victory over sin. Once again, not all stories end in victory. When we look at Israel's time throughout the Old Testament, guess what? They would continue through these dark times, because through the Old Testament, guess what? There was no way for their sin. There was no solution for sin. None. Not even the blood of bulls and goats could do it. The only way that victory would happen is if the ultimate sacrifice would be made. Victory is at hand for these people. Even with the beginnings of the New Testament, the Gospels, that victory was born. And it would only be through that victory that one could find and have solution to their sin. And that victory, through this one man, life would come. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The Word here is Jesus Christ. Christ, who would be born of a virgin, as foretold by Isaiah. We see Him through His ministry. He went throughout the land, healing, bringing to life the dead, giving people eternal life. If they would come and believe and obey, they would have life. Many today who may be going through a tough time with drugs, with any type of addiction, first you must be willing to want help, to find a solution for that. Absolutely, that's what it comes from, is willpower. People must be willing to come and believe and accept Jesus Christ in order to receive that solution for sin. Yet many continue to reject that solution. This is the only way, brothers and sisters, that you can be fixed. This is the only way that you can fix the ultimate problem, which is sin. You cannot fix yourself. I'll be honest. I have plenty of times said, I can overcome this sin on my own. Guess what happens? It's not pretty. We cannot fix ourselves before coming to Christ. There's no way. It is only through Jesus Christ in which we can have victory. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you do not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. We have been, for those who have come to Christ, we have been justified and sanctified in the blood of Jesus Christ. But many choose to be justified but not sanctified. Many reject that. Sanctified, we are set apart for Him and Him only. You can have a great ending to your story. Or you can choose that your story ends in tragedy. You have that choice. Just like the three young men, they made that choice that night to do what they did. And it cost them. One being spared and given more time, yet he chose. Now, I'm not saying we will be sinless. We won't. We fall short every day. Paul confirms that with Romans 3. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We continue to sin. We're not going to be sinless. The only one that's sinless is Jesus Christ when he walked on this earth and still is perfect. But we have a choice. We can choose to give up and remain in those dark times, remain in that sin. We have that choice. Or we can choose to pick ourselves back up and to run to Christ. And to one day have that victory. Which one will you choose? Sadly, many will continue to choose the ending of tragedy instead of the ending which leads to victory. But for you who are here who are not Christians, you have an opportunity right now. God has shown mercy to you to this point by giving you this time to be here this morning. Don't throw it away, because time is not on your side. One day your story will come to an end. It will either end in victory or end in tragedy. Tragedy being hell, lost, and eternal punishment. If you are not a Christian this morning, I pray that you come and you know Christ and you give your life to him, because that is the only solution to sin. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word which has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. You must believe in that word, John 3:16-17. Then you must repent, change one's mind. You are to change. You are to put away your old self, disown your old self, disown sin. Then you must confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:9-10. Those who do not confess him before men, guess what? They won't confess before his Father. And then it doesn't stop there. We must be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26, 1 Peter 3:21, and on. But it doesn't stop there. We must remain faithful. That means keep our heads in the Word of God, directing and guiding our life, having a prayer life, doing the work we have been called to do until his coming or until we take our last breath. And our story will end in victory. Or if you are a Christian and you have had another downfall and you remain in those dark times, there is victory in Jesus Christ. There is victory in Christ. When we look at everybody, that all the figures of the Bible, they've had their downfall, they've had their dark days, but at the end of those stories, victory. I pray that if you are here this morning, that you answer the call this morning as we stand and as we sing.